Gosh, this is weird stuff to talk about. Somebody find for me where the angels slept with human women. What was happening to this person? And I remember there's other people who I've talked to them and ministered to them, and they were really doing warfare. But when they were asleep, see, if Satan cannot get you to participate in sin when you're awake, then he's going to start going after your sleep life. But you can really get strong in God to where you will rise up even in your dreams and bind the devil and tell him off. And it's pretty cool. You can get to a place where the Holy Spirit will come in and wake you up right before the devil can cause something to happen. And so you really want to ask God to protect your dreams. You also want to close any door that opened up to this kind of stuff. Genesis 6:2 is where the angels... Okay, hang on to that a minute. Let me go ahead and read that. Anyway, so this person's particular issue was when they were asleep. And basically, they felt like they were being raped in their sleep. And it can happen to men or women. Let's look at Genesis 6 here a minute. Now, I don't want to give you things you can't handle or digest, but I want you to remember that everything that Satan does is a counterfeit of something that God does. And if you really look at the virgin birth, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was impregnated. Now, I'm not going to go one bit beyond what the Word of God says about it. But I have a feeling if the Holy Spirit, because I know when you get touched by the Holy Spirit, you fall out. If you really feel the presence of God and you don't have a false gatekeeper, there is power when the true presence of God touches you. I can know when somebody prays for me if they are anointed or if they are not anointed. They might be fooling themselves, but they're not fooling me. You know, the anointing breaks yokes. The anointing has power. I can't imagine that the anointing, the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing, I mean, it's the power of God, touching a physical body such as Mary, did not cause her to feel the presence of God. She could probably tell you when the Spirit came on her. Now, people who are not into the moves of God and the charismatic and don't feel the presence of God, they will get all upset with this teaching, but they get upset with anything that I teach. So that's between them and God. I believe what you see happening in Genesis 6 was the enemy counterfeiting intimacy that we can have with the Lord. And I'm not talking in a perverted way. See, before the fall, there was no perversion. In God's mind, there's no perversion. And the Bible says in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 5 or something, that when he's talking about a relationship with the husband and wife, he says, but I talked to you about the church, which is the called out ones, and Christ. What am I saying? We are to be one in the flesh with only a husband or a wife. The one that we're married to, not anybody's husband or wife, but the husband or wife that we are married to. In that place is a powerful revelation of getting as close to a human being as you can get to them. And you don't need all the perverted ways. If you would really get the revelation that God has concerning intimacy, you wouldn't need the perverted junk that you read in magazines and books and all this stuff. A true intimacy is based on a closeness and a drawing together. And I believe it represents a unit or the worshiping in spirit where you are one spirit with the Lord. And when you become mature in God and you begin to walk with God, there is a deep calling to deep. There is a crying out. And the Bible says from your innermost being. From your belly will come living water. There is placed within us as we mature in God this unbelievable desire to be with him in spirit. To feel his presence. To feel him saturating you from your head to your toe. To absolutely fall in love with him. And when it's real and it's holiness and it's not perversion and it's not the enemy counterfeiting, when you've gotten rid of all the junk so you're a vessel where God can come and dwell with you, There is an unbelievable intimacy and revelation of being in love with the Lord. And that's when I believe you begin to understand why he calls us his bride. I believe when you go into that place, you'll begin to see fruit in your life like you've never seen before. You will know Jesus. You will lift him up. People will be drawn to your revelation of Jesus because it's not hidden knowledge. It becomes relationship knowledge. I believe when God gave us marriage, it was to reveal in the natural realm this desire to be that close to God. And I won't get into it all, but I've heard some powerful teaching on how everything works, and it's awesome. I just don't know that, I just don't feel led to share that, how God set a woman up and a man up in a very specific way to represent entering into the rest. It's pretty cool. And you don't need demonic fantasizing. You don't need to think of using people and perversion. You don't need to think of any of that when you begin to realize God is allowing you one person that he will not be jealous of, because they reflect something so powerful in the area of intimacy with the Lord. And this one person is someone that you should share your feelings with, you should share everything with, that you should minister to one another. There should be such an openness and freedom that everything in the woman, the way the Lord has set it up, everything in her says, come, come and rest here. And if you read the Song of Solomon, I won't get into all this tonight, but we can get some powerful stuff on Friday night maybe. But there is this, the bridegroom, Jesus is coming and he knocks and it's very intimate. And he's saying, you know, do you want to come and be with me? And he actually left and said, she's not ready. And then Solomon says, don't awaken love before it's time. What happens when you begin to see all this garbage in our society, you awaken love before it's time. Lisa Bevere had a powerful teaching for ladies on that. But basically, then it goes into lust and perversion because it's not being awakened by God bringing two people together and then God causing them to have feelings towards each other, called according to the Word of God, a passion that they then need to marry because there's so much of this desire for each other. God wants you to have that kind of desire, not perversion. I'm not talking about, that's the enemy. He wants you, though, to desire to be with him, to hear him, to feel his presence. And so he set up the husband and wife relationship to reflect this awesome place in God that only the mature are going to get to. And this is totally pearl before swine for anyone else to trample on it. But that's between them and God. And if you get into the prophetic movement, if you really go with the prophetic is pure, like Mike Bickle's ministry, you will begin to see there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who have this revelation. And much of the prophetic move is about the bridehood. And then the other part of the prophetic move is about warfare. Because there's a lot of warfare as you're moving into this place with the Lord. Anyway, I won't get into this. If you got all the different tapes, you'd hear different parts of this. But anyway, there's a way the Lord actually made everything to stir up this desire in a pure way. He can't think of anybody else. When it becomes real, it's not about using each other. It's about, I just want to be with this person. I just want to share my life with this person. I just can't think of anybody else. And when it's really God, you could have been saying a week before, I'm not going to ever get married. I don't want anything to do with it. And all of a sudden, boom, you can't even think beyond that. Now, I'm not talking, now lust is powerful counterfeit to the passion of the Lord. And I'm not talking about the movie, The Passion of the Lord. I'm talking about what he calls in Ephesians, you know, or Corinthians, when he says, if you have passion for your virgin, then marry her so that you don't sin. And Paul, when you kind of read Paul, he wasn't real pro-marriage. But let's face it, Paul wasn't the last generation. If no Christian had been pro-marriage, we'd all been extinct by now. You know, I mean, God is pro-marriage, even if Paul wasn't. Because of what it reflects. And I won't get into all the different things. There were some pretty wild things that different things shows, but just that intensity. So Satan's perverted all that. And I believe, where's Genesis 6? Let me find this. Okay, 2. The sons of God, and this particular sons of God is before the cross, and it's not talking about people. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all those whom they chose. And Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In their erring, he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. That's when God chose how long we'd live after the fall. The giants were in the earth in those days, and even afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore to them, they were heroes, which existed from ancient time, the men of name. And Jehovah saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. What many have interpreted this as, and other translations are more clear than this one, is that there were actually angels. And many people believe it was the fallen angels or the demons who were actually having relationships with the women and caused giants to be born. And so at that point, that's why the flood came. The whole idea is, and I don't want to get too, this is so mentioned so little in the scripture. I don't want to make things up. I've just heard the teaching on this. And I never thought about it until people began to tell me about feeling like they were being raped in their sleep. And literally feeling a force, a strength on them, but no one being there, as if they were being raped. And it's been men and women who've had this experience. And then many times it would lead to feelings of uncleanness. It would feel, especially as Christians, feeling like, boy, I've really failed. And the one thing that I was going to say, like I was combining it with the shopping thing. Oh, this is really hard to preach, you guys. I'm glad I know most of your faces. Okay. God made man and woman in a way for sex to be pleasurable. Okay? That's what the Lord did. But Satan wants to be in charge of that relationship and pervert it. And what makes it hard for many people to get free from the sin of masturbation as one of the sins, or any sexual sin as far as lusting, is that reminder in their past that it's pleasurable. And so they can't hate it because it's pleasurable. Or, as we're going to do different altar calls tonight to help people get free, I have talked to people who have been sexually abused, but at some point, if they weren't really afraid for their life or there wasn't brutality going on, I'm talking about even in areas of incest is that stuff that smells. Okay, incest. Boy, it's bad when I switch those around the other way, though. Okay. See, this isn't an area that I really go that often, okay? I don't ever go there, but to even preach it. You can really watch what I say. They're going to really have fun with this. Okay. So, but they would say the hard part was the shame of enjoying what was so horrible. The same with somebody being molested. The same with anything. There, because God made the whole sexual relationship to be intensely pleasurable if the people love each other and open up. And see, Satan had to bring in all these perversions because it's about the intimacy that should make it pleasurable. But because there's so little true intimacy or relationship or communication or respect, Satan has brought in all kinds of devices and gadgets and things to try to get you to a place that really relationship should get you to. The world has all these little tricks and gadgets and movies. You know, it's really sad if somebody has to watch filth on TV before they can enjoy their partner. But that's how bad it is. Or they have to fantasize about something filthy in the past. They can't just enjoy. It's so perverted, folks. It's so perverted. You need a delete button, a wipe out, a clean, let's start over kind of thing. And that's why the marriage tapes are powerful. I'm not going to re-preach all that. That's like, I don't know, four or five tapes. But the merit tapes are very, very powerful because it tells you what it's supposed to be like, the whole marriage idea. And it's gotten so far into reprobate, people don't even understand, and they think something's wrong with you. So what I was saying about this incubus thing is if that happened to you before you were saved. And let me read the dictionary. I don't know if this dictionary says it, but the dictionary I had at home or in the office did, because there's even a rock band called this. And somebody I was praying for, that's where the door opened. They enjoyed that rock band. And they had, before they were saved, and they had never saw that music was that powerful, and they had never broken the power of that spirit or those lyrics or even that name. Only the devil could come up with a name like that. That rock band's name actually means having sex with demons. Let me read this. It's in the, how do you spell this? Y'all can tell this isn't my area of expertise, so that's fine, okay? I'm going at it because nobody else, I don't have any good tapes to give to anybody. If I did, I'd give them to you. Okay. This one is not as powerful as the one in the office. This one says, a nightmare, an oppression of the breast in sleep or sense of weight with an almost total loss of the power of moving the body while the imagination is frightened or astonished. It says a demon. It's another name for a demon. In the one at the office, which was another Webster, it said an evil spirit that has sex with you at night. I mean, it was pretty clear. I was like, whoa, this is here.